This is InfoTrack, a balanced look at today's most important issues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
What's in your drinking water? A recent study shows that reducing one toxin can have life-saving benefits. With more, here's InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Today we're looking at a major new study showing that reducing arsenic levels in drinking water can significantly lower long-term deaths from cardiovascular disease and cancer. Groundwater contamination by naturally occurring arsenic remains a global public health concern, affecting more than 100 million people in the U.S. alone, many who rely on the use of private wells. Joining me to discuss this landmark research is Dr. Lex von Hain, co-lead author of the study and a scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. Let's start with the big picture. Your team followed thousands of people for more than 20 years. What made this such a unique opportunity to understand the long-term effects of arsenic exposure, and what happens when that exposure finally stops?
Well, in the late 1990s, there was considerable uncertainty about the health effects of arsenic, and it was a concern because regulation was in flux. And so that's why the U.S. Superfund program, funded by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, got us started in Bangladesh, the country that's most affected by high arsenic levels in well water, arsenic of natural origin, I should say. And we embarked on this ambitious plan to enroll 12,000 people, adult men and women of childbearing age, in a study. And we planned all along to follow them as long as possible while trying to reduce their exposure to arsenic.
In Bangladesh, the WHO has referred to it, or they've called the site, the largest mass poisoning in history. How did arsenic contamination in Bangladesh become such an enormous public health crisis there?
I should point out that the arsenic is of natural origin. And what has changed is that people relied more and more on well water to avoid surface water that is contaminated with microbial pathogens and therefore requires boiling. It's much easier to pump water from a well. Wells are cheap to install in Bangladesh because it's all this unconsolidated material. It can be done within a day. A team of 3-4 men can install a well for about $100. And that water will, by and large, be free of microbial pathogens.
One of the striking findings of the research is that people who lowered their arsenic levels ended up with the same mortality rates as those who were never highly exposed in the first place. So what was your reaction when you first saw that data? Were you surprised?
Well, I can tell you, we looked for it. I mean, we started reducing exposure as much as we could in the first decade of the study. And when our first publication came out showing the health impacts on mortality, doubling mortality for the exposed population relative to the lower exposure population, we didn't see the benefits of lowering exposure. Another decade later, those effects became quantifiable.
A fascinating part of this research is the real-world, quote-unquote, experiment created when some households switched to safer wells and others didn't. What did that natural comparison allow you to understand that previous studies either did not capture or could not capture at the time?
You're absolutely right. Not everyone was willing to make the effort to lower their exposure. We certainly tried to convince them. And the type of action they would take early on was switching to a neighbor's well. The arsenic is very patchy in the aquifers, which means that you can have two neighboring wells, one of them high in arsenic and one of them low. Some of the installed wells are a bit deeper and reach older layers that have been flushed of their arsenic. And also this yet took advantage of government wells, which are much deeper, that were installed. Not everyone responded to that. And that means that indeed we had a reference population, the ones that were continuously exposed relative to the ones who lowered their exposure over these 20 years, and another that was never exposed. We picked early on an area with a high range of arsenic concentrations in well water for that reason.
Your team has also worked on practical solutions, obviously testing wells, labeling unsafe sources. You've developed this testing well app. Maybe you could explain a little bit about that and how these tools coming together have helped change the way families in Bangladesh make decisions about their water.
Right. So I think early on, when people started to realize the scale of the problem, the focus was very much on let's treat the water, let's remove the arsenic. We learned from our colleagues in Bangladesh, from the University of Dhaka, geology department in particular, that that was not going to be viable in the long term. Any sort of treatment system needs to be maintained and monitored. What we learned, because we did this very dense survey of wells, we tested 6,000 wells within a 25 square kilometer area, what became apparent to us was the spatial variability. We learned over time that arsenic concentrations don't change very fast over time. And so you can actually take advantage of that variability. You need to know where the pockets of high and low arsenic water are, install wells that target the low arsenic areas. That is the key. In other words, it's information. If people know where to drill or what to switch to in their neighborhood, they will be able to lower their exposure. I think that was maybe the key also to the app. So the government in the past few years has conducted an extraordinary campaign that tested more than 6 million wells with a kit across the country. These wells were tested and the data recorded with smartphones, GPS coordinates were collected. People know the depth of their well because they paid for the PVC pipe that went in to install in the well. And they've handed essentially this information over to us a couple of years ago and said, see what you can do with it. And so we had to do some data cleaning, some recalibration, and now it is indeed available to anyone in Bangladesh. Could be used at the village level to know where to drill and what to avoid. The challenge now is to make people aware of that. And we are now working on a media campaign.
And this is also an issue in this country, too. As I mentioned at the top, there are millions of people who use public wells for their everyday water use. So it does affect millions of people here in the U.S. who use private wells.
Yes, so you're right. It's tens of millions of people are not connected to a community supply system of some sort. Often they don't test their water. I don't think it's such a high number that has arsenic as a particular issue, but some of them have nitrate. There is a county in New Jersey, Huntington, where the Department of Environmental Protection has been very good at encouraging people to test their wells and making this information available without, of course, identifying specific households that may have been exposed in the past.
What do you hope policymakers and communities around the world take away from your findings, and especially in places like here in the U.S., where, again, millions of people still rely on private wells?
I think it's the importance of testing and information, conveying that information so people can make informed decisions.
Dr. Lex von Hain of Columbia University is our guest. Thank you for joining us today. This is a really fascinating study.
Thank you.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
That wraps up this episode of InfoTrack. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another InfoTrack broadcast.